As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem and to the cross, there were people who were wonderfully drawn to him. In the last sermon in this series, we heard Jesus call out the name of a man who was sitting in a sycamore tree. And after Jesus called out his name, Zacchaeus, his life was changed forever. This week, we're going to hear Jesus call out the name of a man who was lying dead in a tomb. He was drawn to Jesus from lethal sickness to life. Our passage is John chapter 11, which is long. And due to its length, I'm going to read only some of the verses at this time. And then throughout the sermon, we'll read other parts of the chapter as well. I invite you to open your Bibles to the chapter, John chapter 11. And even though, again, you are live streaming, I encourage you, if able, to stand for the reading. I encourage that because that is one of the ways we worship here at First Church. God is the King of Kings. And when we open His Word, He is speaking to us. He is speaking to us today, even during this pandemic. He has gathered us around His Word via this live stream. Standing as a gesture of honoring Him. We are one body standing together. We are saying with our action, we look to our King for help. We lift our eyes to Him. We want to hear from Him. We want to obey Him. We want to rest in Him. He is our source of hope, wisdom, and eternal life. John chapter 11, I'm going to begin by reading verses 1 through 4. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And this passage goes on to explain that Lazarus did die. He was ill. He died. He was buried. Start to think about that. We're going to jump now to verse 38 and read verses 38 through 44. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Father God Almighty, thank you for your holy word. Thank you that you speak to us through your word. Thank you that you are with each and every one of us by your Spirit who fills us. How awesome it is to be a part of your body. We ask you now to nourish our hearts, our minds, and our souls through your holy word. Teach us. Draw us to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Lazarus was ill. Lazarus died. People were grieving. Dear friends, this passage addresses what people all over the world are facing because of COVID-19. And it is God who brought us to this passage today. I say that because several months ago, before we knew anything about the coronavirus, what it was going to do here in the United States, by the providence of God, I planned to preach on Lazarus during this Drawn to Jesus series. I planned to preach on Lazarus because this is a wonderful passage leading us up to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to see that today. And God had additional plans. God had plans to comfort us by focusing our attention on a man who dies of an illness. Our God is good. Our God is gracious. Let's listen eagerly. I'm calling my first point the friend of Lazarus. The friend of Lazarus. This is a wonderful part of the passage, for his friend is Jesus. And that friendship is highlighted three times in this passage. The first time is in verse 3. We read, "So the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha," who we also read a lot about in this passage, "the sisters sent to him to Jesus saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" The sisters were concerned because Lazarus, their brother, was ill, and they could tell this was a serious illness. The prognosis was not good. It was clear Lazarus was dying. So they reached out to Jesus for help. They knew they could send for Jesus and that Jesus would be concerned because Jesus loved Lazarus. Meaning Jesus and Lazarus had a deep friendship. They had a brotherly love for each other. That is emphasized and shown more fully just two verses later. In verse 5, John the inspired author writes, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Jesus had a deep friendship with the whole family. He knew them well. The sisters of Lazarus were like sisters to him. They had welcomed Jesus as part of their family, and this family was dear to Jesus. Jesus, of course, loved everyone he ministered to. He loves everyone today, but just like we develop special friendships, well, so did Jesus while he was on this earth. We especially see how meaningful this friendship was to Jesus in verses 33 through 36. The verses tell us what happened after Jesus arrived and spoke with Mary and Martha, quote, "When Jesus saw her, Lazarus' sister Mary, weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And he said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. So the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.'" Jesus wept because he loved Lazarus. And he wept because he loved Mary and Martha. And it hurt his heart to see them grieving. And other people could see the love Jesus had for Lazarus. They commented on it. Now, what I ask you to realize is that in this text, we are seeing that Jesus is fully human. Jesus had special friendships, just like we do. He felt all the human emotions we feel. Lazarus was dear to him, and he did not like being at his friend's tomb. Jesus did not like seeing his friend's sisters grieve. It is awesome to see that emotion, that love in this text, because listen to this, Jesus is still fully human. I'm going to say that truth again because it is not only a theological significant truth, it's part of our comfort. Jesus is still fully human. Jesus did not cease to be human when his ministry on this earth came to a close, just like we see the fully human body of Lazarus come out of the grave in this passage. So on Easter, which this passage is preparing us for, we will celebrate that the fully human body of Jesus came out of the grave. And the fully human resurrected Jesus ascended to God the Father. He remains fully human. And someday, we will see the fully human Jesus. Already, he is our friend. Someday, we will meet him face to face. Someday we are going to look into the human eyes of Jesus. Someday we will literally be able to kneel at his human feet. Someday, I fully believe, our fully human Savior will greet us with a kiss on the cheek. Let us realize from this passage how awesome God's plan of salvation is. God is not distant. He does not merely save us from hell. God literally became one of us so that we might be his brothers and sisters. God became one of us so that he might not only be our creator and king, he might be our friend. He is our king who can fully, completely sympathize with us. He is our friend and our king. Someday we are going to see him. Someday we are going to be greeted by him, our human Savior. That truth is always wonderful to think about. But right now, during this pandemic, during this stay-at-home order, it's especially nice to think about, isn't it? Having to stream our worship service, that's not pleasant because we like to be together. Being isolated from one another, that's a burden. We were created to gather together. We were created for fellowship. We were created to see one another, to raise our voices and worship together. We were created to shake hands, to greet each other with a hug. And as part of God's sovereign, gracious plan of salvation, Jesus became fully human to not only save us from hell, not only to reconcile us to him, but he came to create an even greater aspect of relationship with him, a human friendship. That's just staggering. Jesus is our God, our king, and our human friend. Listen to these words of Jesus recorded in John 15, verse 15. Jesus says to his disciples, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." Wow. Those are moving, touching, and fathomable words. And we see the reality of those words in our passage. The friend of Lazarus was Jesus. A friend to him when he was ill. A friend to him when he was dying. That's point number one. Now the next point we're going to dig into is the illness and death of Lazarus. The details of his illness and death raise two questions that have significant answers. I look first with me at verse 5 and 6. The verses say, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." Now a question that naturally comes to mind after reading these verses is, since Lazarus was his friend and since his friend was ill, nearing death, why did Jesus stay 2 days longer? Why didn't Jesus immediately go to be with Lazarus? Now, that's what we would seek to do, right? So why did Jesus stay 2 days longer? It doesn't seem to make sense. The answer is that Jesus wanted to raise Lazarus from death, from the grave 4 days after death. Now look at verses 38 and 39 with me. The verses say, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days.'" Martha specifically says, "Jesus, it's the fourth day. There's an odor." That's significant. Because a belief that Jewish rabbis had at that time was that when a person died, their soul hovered over the person for the first 3 days, intending to re-enter the body. We don't believe that, but that's what the Jewish rabbis believed. After 3 days, the soul would see that the body was decomposing, and so it would depart. So according to the rabbis, Lazarus was dead His soul had departed. His body was decomposing. All of those details emphasize the greatness of the miracle Jesus does. Jesus, by the way, rose on the third day to fulfill prophecy that his body would not see decay. That's an extremely important detail about his resurrection. Lazarus' body did see decay. The miracle of his resurrection is staggering for that reason. That detail reveals God can raise us no matter what happens to our body. That's why Jesus stayed 2 days longer. With that understood, I want to back up and focus on verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, Mary and Martha send for Jesus because Lazarus is ill. And look at what Jesus says in response. In verse 4, we read, "So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Jesus said, this illness does not lead to death. Now, anyone hearing that statement would think what? They would think, well, Lazarus is not going to die. But Lazarus did die. He died and was in the tomb 4 days. So why did Jesus say this illness does not lead to death? That's another question we need to ask and answer. Why does Jesus say this illness does not lead to death? The answer is twofold. One part of the answer is this. Jesus knew he would raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew, therefore, this illness would not have any victory over Lazarus. Look at verse 11 with me. After Lazarus is dead, Jesus says to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." Jesus calls Lazarus' death sleep, and he speaks of awakening him. Jesus is talking about death and resurrection, but his disciples take his words literally. Look at the next two verses, verses 12 and 13. The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest and sleep. The use of the words asleep and awakened by Jesus, it confused the disciples, but the words are full of truth. They're full of comfort. To fully appreciate the comfort and truth, we need to understand what death is. A lot of people in the world speak of death as being natural, and they say there is beauty in death. That is false. That is a lie. Death is not natural. It is not beautiful. It is painful. It is a curse. We are experiencing the reality of that in an unprecedented way right now. Please know that sickness and death did not exist when God created all things very good. Sickness and death came into the world only after sin and rebellion against God, the Creator, the Giver of life. Whenever we see death or grieve death, that is what we should be reminded of. No matter how death comes about, whether from a pandemic or from an accident or from old age or any other way, death is a curse. The idea that it is natural and beautiful comes from Satan, because Satan wants to deceive us and lead us into eternal death. Satan has been lying about death from the very beginning. He told Eve when she ate the forbidden fruit, she would not surely die. But she did. And because of Adam's sin, death came into the whole world as a curse. Death is far from natural. During this pandemic, God is reminding us that death is a curse, and he's reminding us that we are all under that curse. That's the bad news. That helps us understand the good news, the comforting news, which is that Jesus came to take away the sting of death. He came to provide salvation so that death is nothing more than falling asleep and waking up. Christ shows us a picture of that salvation in this event. That's one reason he says this illness does not lead to death. There's a second reason as well. Jesus knew the event would lead to him, to Jesus, being crucified. Jesus says that in verse 4 with different words. Listen to his words. This illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That statement is not egotistical. Jesus is not prideful and puffed up when he says, this event with Lazarus is going to lead to me being glorified. He's not being egotistical because with that statement, Jesus is referring to the cross. Jesus is referring to his crucifixion. He's referring to the most sacrificial act of love ever completed. To confirm that, I want to take you to John chapter 13. The event concerning Lazarus is chapter 11. We're going to jump to 13. The scene is the Last Supper on the night before the crucifixion. Starting in verse 21, we read, after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he'd taken the morsel, Satan entered him. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Those last phrases are the same phrases that are in chapter 11. Jesus was headed to the cross to be glorified and for God the Father to be glorified in that. It is through the cross that Jesus is glorified because it is on the cross that Jesus showed amazing grace, mercy, humble, sacrificial love. And it is on the cross that Jesus conquered Satan and death. That is what Jesus is talking about in verse 4 of our passage. We can paraphrase verse 4 this way. Jesus was saying, this illness will not lead to a permanent death for Lazarus because I'm going to wake him up. Lazarus is merely asleep. I'm going to awaken him, and his illness will lead to my cross. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus will be glorified. He will go to the cross. The event with Lazarus led to the cross because it created more excitement about Jesus in Jerusalem. The home of Lazarus was very near Jerusalem. John clearly mentions that in verse 18, which says Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. That short distance meant that eyewitnesses who were present and saw the resurrection of Lazarus could easily and quickly spread that news to Jerusalem. People who knew Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had come to support the grieving sisters and show honor to Lazarus, just like we do at memorial services. And they saw this great resurrection, and those eyewitnesses quickly spread the news of this extraordinary miracle to Jerusalem. Listen to verses 45 through 48 and verse 53 of John 11. Quote, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. The Jewish leaders could not permit any more miraculous signs. They had to stop Jesus. And Jesus knew that would happen. He knew the event with Lazarus would lead to him being glorified. The event would lead to him conquering death, not only for Lazarus, but for all who believe. That is why Jesus said, this illness does not lead to death. Look now with me at the resurrection of Lazarus. This is the next point, the resurrection of Lazarus. It's recorded in verses 38 through 44. Then Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Mary, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Let's just pause there. Notice that is part of the phrase we were just looking at. It's through the miracle that God the Father is glorified. The miracle is a display of divine power. God is glorified and Jesus is God. This is Jesus fully man displaying he is fully God. We continue to read. So they took away the stone and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, and his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. By simply calling his name, the man who had been dead for 4 days in the grave, the man whose body was decomposing, came walking out alive. If you want proof that Jesus is God, well, there it is. The Bible is giving us here an eyewitness account. This really did happen. John, the inspired author, he was there. So are many other eyewitnesses. This event happened, and it's proof that Jesus is the one true living God. It's been recorded for us that we might be saved. That's the key application. Turn to Jesus and be saved. Listen again to what Jesus said to Martha. Starting in verse 23, we read, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Those words I have underlined are the key application question in this passage. Do you believe this? Do you believe that everyone who looks to Jesus will live even though he dies? If you do believe, then look to Jesus, turn to him, and know with assurance that you will live even though you die. What a great comfort this passage is during a pandemic. You will live even though you die. Do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus is your Savior and your friend, and that you'll see him and that you will be with him? I don't know all the people who are live streaming right now. I don't know who will watch this live stream in the coming weeks via, you know, the recording of it on our website and Ustream. But I know that not one person will hear this sermon by chance. Listen to this. God right now is speaking to you through his holy word. Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus is calling to you. Turn to him for salvation. Be saved. Be comforted. One of the ministries we support as a church called Agape International Ministries came up with a phrase just recently during this pandemic that I really like. The phrase is worship over worry. Worship over worry. If we believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that's exactly what we can do. We can worship over worry. We can be comforted. We can rest in Jesus. And we can share with others the good news of Jesus. Please realize what an awesome passage this is for the situation our whole world is in. Do you know someone who is frightened because of everything going on? Do you know someone who is sick with the virus? This is a great passage to share. Lazarus was ill and he died, but he came out of the tomb when Jesus called his name. Lazarus lives today. He is with Jesus, his friend, right now. And all who turn to Jesus, repenting of their sins, believing in him, will live as well, even though they die. You can turn to Jesus right now, no matter where you are. You can turn to him. You can receive the salvation. Pray to him this way: Almighty God and Father, I am a sinner. I have sinned and I rebelled against you. I deserve the curse of death. But I believe in Jesus, your Son. I believe that he came into this world to save sinners like me. I believe he went to the cross. He paid my debt. He conquered death for me. Please forgive me. Save me. I believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You pray to Jesus in that way and worship over worry. That's what we can do through Jesus, our Lord. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, thank you for sending Jesus into the world, fully human, fully God, to provide salvation for us. Thank you for what you did through Lazarus, showing us your great salvation, showing us this amazing picture of our friendship with Jesus, who is now human with us. Thank you for showing us a picture of resurrection, that when we die, we are simply asleep and we will be awakened. May we all believe, may we all be comforted, may we all rest in Jesus unto your glory and honor and unto the salvation of many other people during these times. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.